This podcast is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network, and it's also proud to be from Texas. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is the 2v2 podcast. Danny, Dave, and Steve, you are awesome.
Say we had a bunch of the Tonka trucks and stuff like that, but we left all those over at Danny's house basically all
the time. I did everything I could to try to destroy it. I think I even asked, can you run over this with a tractor? I want to see if it'll actually hold up.
That's back when they were still metal, too,
you
man.
You could hurt yourself trying to tear those things, because that was like
they were
heavy
tough.
Gauge sheet metal.
Yeah. This plastic crap you put on everything now.
Yeah, those things were actually really... The only thing plastic on them, I think, was the wheels. They had those great big, thick, plastic, black wheels on them, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's about it.
Tough stuff.
That and the, I will say, but I never did put smoke bombs in the Star Wars toys, but the G.I. Joe's toys, they were...
Fair game.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if we did the Millennium Falcon or not. I do remember doing the Sky Striker.
Yeah. Make sure you get up on that mic whenever you talk
there.
Get
up on there.
Yeah.
It's hard because I don't have anywhere to put my feet under there.
Let me hold them. Put them in my lap.
I got one for each of you.
I don't know what y'all are doing, but like, it reminded me of that Elvis movie right now.
What?
Kissing Cousins.
No, thank you.
That ain't right.
Yeah. Hey, man. Y'all are the ones that ain't right. That's all I'm saying. Man, I've been leaving this here. I got to get a shelf for it, but yeah, dude, I picked that up at that G.I. Joe show, along with Firefly there.
Yeah, he's pretty cool, man.
Here's his little back. Little slat that goes on the back there. It won't stay on. It's just old and worn out, so it won't stay on. But I was marveling at his old school cell phone that he's got there in his hand.
Brick.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was probably high tech back in the day.
He's dude.
Like, oh my gosh, it's not even in a case. It's in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like a satellite phone.
Yeah. That might be what it is. It's a sat phone or something like that. I still like to think that it's an old school cell phone.
Oh, you're probably right. It probably is an old school cell phone.
Yeah, I couldn't remember. Like I was showing that to Mike on the show, and as soon as like you left, I remembered that's Firefly. That's what his name was. I always remembered it as
think of it
the Cobra
time.
Saboteur.
Cobra Saboteur.
And I didn't even know what the devil a saboteur was at that time either. I remember Mom said something like she read the card for me. She's like, "That's a saboteur," and I was like, "What's that?" And she's like, "He sets bombs." I was like,
"I don't know. Just get it.
That's even cooler." Yeah. Right.
Saboteur.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome to 2BT. I'm David.
Michael.
Steven.
Woohoo! Look at that. We got all three.
I was starting to think that Steven had something personal against me because every time I could show up, he just couldn't be here.
Yeah, I know.
Steven has been busy.
Like, is it my. Do I not take care of myself and clean myself?
There's a gamey smell in this room that you guys out there can't smell.
Not me. So, yeah.
We are here.
No
trip to Waco today. No working day shift all day.
Nice.
It's nice. And today is the start of my weekend. So,
oh, sweet.
Remember, get up on that microphone whenever you talk there.
Yeah, working.
Yeah. Well, every time I look over at you, you're getting further and further back. So
like I said, it's been 24 hours.
I'm going to tape it to your face.
I'm going to have to tape it to my face. I'm kind of swaying, or I feel like I'm swaying a little bit.
It's kind of like you're in drunk driving territory now when you don't sleep for 24 hours.
Yeah. That's where I was last night, man. Like, first off, I had to work yesterday morning where I'm in overtime now. So it's like, A, I don't like working overtime, but I like the money from overtime. So, they want to pay me. They want to give me extra money for coming in and doing my job. I'm pretty much going to take it at any point in time.
Well, yeah.
Hell yeah.
And plus, like, you know, celebration coming up and like getting airfare and all like this good stuff. So I'm like, okay, this will pay for my airline ticket. Maybe pay for some paint for the house or something like that or whatever. but like yesterday just started off. It was like, I knew everything that I had planned yesterday was not going to go right since whenever I had my alarm set for 3:45 in the morning, cause I had to be there at 5:00.
Yep.
And had my alarm set for 3:45, and I totally screwed up and set it for my Monday through Friday alarm instead of on Saturday. Yeah. So by some weird freak chance, I wound up waking up at 4:15, and I just basically had to hit the ground running, dude. I was like, okay, time to go. Yep. And so take the dog outside, throw her out, be like, go to the bathroom. You know, brush my teeth, throw on some clothes, and yell at her to, like, hurry the hell up, and then feed her, and then run off to work. But yeah, man, like... Yeah, and then, yeah, so I was basically up for almost 24 hours myself, because then come back home, do a bunch of stuff here at the house, then had a birthday party to go to. And, well, I told a buddy of mine I would ride with him. I don't like riding to things with people most of the time.
Because you're kind of at their mercy.
And it's like, I started getting tired around 10:30. He told me, he's like, yeah, we'll take off at about like 11:30. I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So 10:30 rolls around, and I'm over there going like, I'm starting to hit the wall, and I'm all like, dude, I need to go here soon. You know, I hate to like, you know, make you leave, but I need to go soon. And then next thing I know, it's like 12:30, getting to 1:00, and I'm like, dude, I'm done. Like, we need to go like right now, or I'm about to Uber and get the devil out of here. And like, oh, dude, so
everybody's tired.
Yeah. Well, no, not now. I'm good now. You
slept good.
Yeah, well, kind of good.
Do you still wake up on the weekends at your normal work time? Get up. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that internal clock.
Yeah. Yep. And that's what sucks, because during the middle of the week, I would have no problem sleeping straight through that work time.
Yeah.
And be like,
it's only on the weekend.
Yeah. And then wake up and be like, crap, I got to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
But on the weekend, I will wake up. You know, my normal alarm clock is at 5:00 in the morning.
Yeah.
And so, like, I will wake up usually around like 5:08, 5:15 on the weekend and go like, yep, nope, going back to sleep. And then I'll wake up like every 20-30 minutes after that until I finally just get tired of the whole like, you guys can't see that, like, but just close my eyes. Yeah, waking up, going back to sleep, waking up, going back to sleep. But that's what couches are for, man.
Yeah.
So what if you just get up and lay down on the couch?
And I hit that couch. We're like, we're going to watch a show like this week, and we were watching TV, and I hit that couch. It's like a sleeping pill hits me.
Oh, yeah. Couch/recliner.
I was up not last night, not before last, till, was it 3:00?
Yeah, it was 2:30.
It was
2:40, and I get a text from you. I'm like, what the heck is he doing?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
No, you're fine. I messaged
because I was looking at the news, and I was like, oh, damn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I was like, oh, crap, I shouldn't do that because I don't have notification beeps or nothing on my messenger.
Yeah.
And Steven goes, what? I was like, Vinnie Paul.
Oh, yeah.
He died. And I was like, and I was just like, 54 years old. Good God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is young, man.
Young.
Yeah.
I mean, we're right there below him.
I mean,
you're farther than both of us, but you're in that wheelhouse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. Well,
did they ever say what it was? Like, heart attack?
Nothing's come out yet. He's in Vegas, at his home in Vegas, I think. That's all I know.
Yeah. I didn't even know he had a home in Vegas. And, like, don't take this the wrong way, anybody, but, like, I was kind of, after, you know, what happened with Daryl and stuff like that, like, I was actually kind of surprised Vinny lasted as long as what he did.
Really? Took it hard?
Well, they were like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I found out yesterday.
Nobody eats just peanut butter.
Yeah.
I found this article that had interviewed Vinnie Paul, Rex, and...
Phil. Yeah.
And I'm guarantee you from reading the article, the way the writer did the article, it made it sound like they were all sitting together.
Oh, yeah.
No, they weren't sitting in the same room.
No.
Because some contradictory statements were made by...
Oh, really?
By some stuff. But the interesting thing is right before, I think it was right before Cowboys from Hell came out or right after, Dave Mustaine flew Dimebag out to audition and offered him a gig with his band with Megadeth.
Really?
And he's like, man, I will pay. You're going to have insurance. You get this money. You're going to have like sponsorships from Nike, free shoes, and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And Dimebag flew back. Vinny Paul was like, what's up? And he's like, well, I'm not going to take it. He offered it to me, but I'm not taking it because I told him if you can't come with me, you're not.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it without you.
Yeah.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
Dime is basically the reason why I wear Converse.
Yeah.
Because I was, you know, as a kid, you're going through that stage where you're trying to find something that looks good with your clothes, but it's still comfortable at the same time, especially when it comes to shoes, and I never could find anything. And then I, you know, saw Dime wearing a Converse and stuff like that, and I was like, oh, hey, awesome. Yeah, there we go. Black Converse.
Yeah. That works.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they were cheap also, and then super comfortable, and so... Yeah, I've been wearing black Converse basically ever since. They're not
so cheap anymore,
though. No, they're not. They're expensive.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
But that was the cheap shoe you could buy. Now it's not.
But I want to talk some Pantera with y'all, because since we lost Vinny this past week and all, and like I was kind of down about it yesterday, because there was actually a point in time that I considered him a friend, and like I said, like, you know, if I would have seen him last week, he probably wouldn't have recognized me. He probably wouldn't have known who I was. But if I would have like said some things like, oh, well, you remember back in the day, you know, 15, 20 years ago, used to hang out and blah, blah, blah. He probably would have like jogged his memory and remembered then. But like, you know, it'd been such a while. It's, to me, it's not really like all that relevant or whatever. But still. But like, I remember the first time. And I don't know if anybody has it queued up or anything like that. We should have. I should.
What's that?
Do you have Vulgar Display of Power?
Yeah.
Okay. It's so, correct. Let me see.
Hollow. No.
I'm going to take a gander here.
That's her second album. Really?
Yeah.
I want to get into this a little while. Have y'all ever... Okay, 1990 was her first album with Phil.
Right.
Have you ever listened to... They had like four albums in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Before, pre-Phil Anselmo.
Yeah.
Have you ever listened to it? Because I haven't.
Yeah.
But I got it on the way over here. I like queued it up on YouTube. I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is different. But then you start listening through one to the other. Mm-hmm. And the musical chops are there from the very first album. I'm going to play a little bit of that. Just as a sample. Not promoting, but which one?
Play number one, because that's the first song I ever heard. Because Steven comes home with the CD. Yeah. He's like, dude, I got this CD. It, like, I don't know if you guys realize this, but you two are like two of the biggest musical influences on my life. Because at work yesterday, I'm allowed to listen to headphones at work. That's why I go through so many books, is because I usually listen to books. Well, yesterday was all music. After I found out about Vinny and stuff like that, I had to listen to Pantera. And then it started like spurring all these memories and things like that. Like, you got me into Queensryche.
Yeah.
Steven got me into Slayer and Pantera.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm the worst.
All sorts of things like that, you know? Like like I said, you two are like the biggest music influence on me or whatever. Well, Steven comes home with this CD and he's like, dude, you gotta check this out. And he tosses me the CD and he puts the CD actually in the CD player. And this is like, dude, the CD player was seriously like a foot wide. Yeah. And it was a one disc CD player. It was like, I got it for Christmas probably like a year or two beforehand. And it's like whenever CD players were still stupid expensive. Mm-hmm. And it was like a 1 foot wide thing that like actually hooked into the old, like, I won't say cabinet, but the, you know, like the hi-fi type stereos that were like the stacks or whatever. And they had the little box and stuff. And so I had it plugged into that. Steven puts this song in. Go ahead and hit play on that track number one. He goes, dude, you got to check this out. And he hits play. And we'll see if... And that came on. And I was like, holy crap. That
is nothing you'd ever heard before.
Yeah. And the album cover went along so well with the music. Because it was just so angry.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if you've never seen the album cover for Vulgar Display of Power, it's a guy getting punched in the face.
Hard.
Yeah.
Hard.
Like,
real.
Yeah. And that's an actual, I heard, you know, Dime and Vinny talking about them actually taking the picture of that. That's like one of their hardcore fans volunteered to get punched in the face for the album cover. And I've also heard the story, like, I know you were talking about before they got Phil, and, like, I don't know if you've ever heard the story about, how, like, them getting Phil, and they were out on the road whenever they got Phil as their singer.
Oh, no.
And they just basically, like, kicked their old singer off the bus and left him. I think they picked up Phil in New Orleans and left their old singer in New Orleans. And like, I was like, that's one way of doing it, I guess.
They had, yeah, their music had rage and aggression.
Oh, yeah.
And just, this is at the end of the era of the hair band and
the end of the whole Poison, Warren, all that stuff, the start
and
of
is like, this is like the anti everything before that.
Yes,
back is, yeah,
this was, for lack of a better term, back to just the groove of music. Instead of just being a show, it's more, wow, just listen to this.
Well, to me, is what it was, is that, you know, like Poison and Warrant and all the hair metal bands, whatever you want to call them, the glam rock or whatever,
yeah,
wasn't allowing people to get their aggressions out.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, people like Metallica and stuff like that came on the scene. And Metallica was aggressive, but nothing to me as what, like, Pantera was.
Right, they took it to another level. Yeah,
and Pantera came out and they had that raw anger that came out in their music, and to me that was like beneficial, like almost therapeutic.
Yeah
to people.
I always, yeah. I don't know, sorry, I'm being quiet because I'm tired.
No,
I always like just the sound.
Yeah,
like, yeah. Dime's guitar was so,
it was so raw, it was so,
yeah, it's not harsh. It's not doctored, it's just I won't say it grates on your nerves, but it almost does. It's so harsh.
Yeah.
And the slides and stuff he uses. Do you remember learning how to play that song, Mouth for War?
Oh, yeah.
Remember we'd go to Boyd? I can't remember who we were playing with over in Boyd. The drummer guy.
That was Matt Chekowitz.
And we started jamming that, and he's like, oh, I ain't playing that thrash metal. What? We play that good.
Right? Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, your experience of meeting,
yeah,
finding Pantera was like when I found Metallica. A buddy of mine just walks up and said, put this in.
Yeah.
Master Puppets tape, put it in the cassette player, and it's like, whoa, my life just...
What
is this? Yeah,
Door just opened.
And their music is just so good, like you said. And that drumming, I was listening yesterday, I spent a lot of time listening. I was really just focusing on the drum beats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And how they were such a good... The basis of it all is just their music. Yeah.
Do you have a Great Southern Trendkill on there?
Yeah, I know which song you're going for. Dave.
Yeah.
Which
one do you want?
Drag the Waters.
Drag the Waters some more?
Yeah.
Or
this?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, there's that whole guitar that it's almost grates on. It doesn't, but it's right there at the edge where, like, dude, that's awesome.
What I always liked was the sound that Vinny had on his kick drum. Let me see that real quick. I've got one that I want to... I think it's Drag the Water. Or not Drag the Water, but on Great Southern Trendkill. It's not. I'm going to dig through your music here real quick. Sorry.
You might have to switch over to Amazon, because they're all on Amazon.
Okay.
Prime.
It's not on here. Oh, well. I was looking for I can't think of the blasted name of the tune.
Was it on Far Beyond Driven?
It might have been.
Dude, there's so many good songs on so many good albums.
5 Minutes Alone.
5 Minutes
Alone. I love the groove. It's not a song I recommend listening around anybody. Good Friends and a Bottle of Pills.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just so brutal and cruel and awful. But the music, you know, just take him out of it.
Yeah.
I could just sit and listen to so many of the grooves they had on so many of the songs
over
and over. Another one for me is Suicide Note Part 1.
Oh, yeah.
That was written the first time he ever picked up a 12-string guitar. He wrote the music for that.
Really?
Just started
playing it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they came up with these lyrics. And that was a really weird song for them, if you think about it.
It was like a ballad almost, yeah.
Kind of experimental.
Yeah. Know? It's kind of like a... is Becoming...
Becoming.
Yeah. I love the drums on that. Like his off beat, like a. Yes. This is what I'm talking. This is one. Now just listen to this. Listen to the sound he's got on the kick drum. I'm going to steal this real quick and I'm going to move it a little bit closer to the microphone so people can hear. But that click, that's what I always call it. It's like
you got a click pad or something like that.
Well, no, it's not a click pad.
No?
But it's I always loved the kick sound that he had on his kick drums, man. Like that it's got the bass to it, of course, like what a bass is supposed to have, but yet it's got that got that pop to it or whatever, which I've actually got to play on that drum kit that he used on Reinventing the Steel, which was pretty cool. He had like this whole room in his house that was like, you know, a drum kit, and it was the Reinventing the Steel. It had the heads on it that looked like they were covered in steel plates or whatever.
Oh, man.
And then he just had like guitars along the wall, and we go over there and then go into his little jam room and just jam out. And of course, I can't play drums to save my life. I can't get the whole hand foot differential thing.
I remember when Steven lived with me and the old drummer had a drum set up over there. I would get in that room and start playing the drums. The dude from Def Leppard. Right. So bad.
Dude, that's one guy that's like really impressive, man, to tell you the truth.
That dude's extremely impressive.
I can't think of his name right now, man, but like, I always loved Def Leppard. You know, that's in that realm of, I guess you could call it the hair metal, the glam metal, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I would classify them.
But like, you know, the guy gets in a car wreck and loses his arm, and then he has to basically go and relearn how to play the drums.
Yeah.
And that was the whole point to me, from what I've heard. I don't know if it's true or not, but that was the whole point of the Pyromania album, was to check to see if he could still do it or not.
Yeah.
You know? And then, like, really, like, you can listen to the albums, and you can't really hear that much of a difference between the musics on say, like, what... I can't think of... Ah, crap. I can't think of albums before Pyromania. I keep wanting to say Diver Down, and I know that's not the name of it.
No, that's Van Halen.
Yeah, I was about to say that's Van Halen. But I remember I can see the album cover, and it's like a chick coming off a diving board, and I can't think of the blasted name.
Oh no.
Anyways, it's not like it matters. Let's talk more Pantera.
Yeah. I never got to see Pantera, and I regret that.
Really?
Buddy Ronnie, that's on a bunch of different podcasts for Nerdy Legion, he actually got to go see Hell Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Last fall.
Yeah.
I just posted some videos of it, and he really loved them, and yeah. I don't know. I could have seen him.
Yeah.
Because this little town I lived, there used to be this, like, a club bar in this town, Munster.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Ranch.
The Ranch, yeah. Yeah. If you go online and just type in Pantera early days or Pantera Munster, there's some cool pictures up there from, like, 1987 when they were playing there. So I could have snuck in. I'd have been a kid, but I could have snuck in and seen them back then. And that's right then. That's that, because if you get all, you will also see some interesting pictures of them pre Phil, right about the time even when Phil was in there, because he had the big hair. They all had like the spandex suits, the one pieces, and like
the little weightlifter looking suit thing.
Oh yeah.
And I read this article, and I don't know if it was Vinnie Paul or Dimebag. They had this discussion. It's like, you know, this hair and these clothes are not making us play better.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when they made that switch. And in fact, the guy that produced Cowboys from Hell actually went to Munster, saw them play there, and it's like he had just come from working with Soundgarden.
Oh, really?
That came out right about that time.
Okay, period. So was that Bad Motor Finger, maybe?
Might have been. I'd have to look it up. Guy's name was Terry something.
Terry Date?
I think so, maybe.
It's possible.
That's the name, Terry Date. The first singer they had was Terry Glaze.
Oh, okay.
I didn't want to miss. Yeah, the guy is still living in New Orleans because they kicked him off.
Yeah,
but he never did leave.
He came expecting something, and then he watched them play live. It's like, oh yeah, let's do this.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's pretty awesome, man.
I want to play.
Yeah, play something from.
I want to play the first album.
Do it,
and just pure gut reaction. Tell me what does this sound like?
All right.
Because it doesn't sound like Pantera, but it is. I mean, their musical chops from the very first album. I think this was 1980.
Oh yeah, Dime was a master of the pinch, man. Dime was a master of the pinch. They're getting that squeal, that meh. To me, like whenever you think like Beavis and Butthead and them doing their solos and stuff like that, the squealy wheely wheely wee. Or
I
mean,
this is the album cover. Yeah. I don't even know how to describe what that looks like.
Oh wow, this is like a.
It's like a chihuahua on a weightlifter's body.
Dog
on a chihuahua head on a weightlifter body.
Well, I'm guessing it's a panther head because it. Wow. Because isn't Pantera Spanish for panther or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pantera.
So to me, I'm getting about 30 seconds here. I get the like Motley Crue,
yeah,
intro. Metal Magic is the name of the album. Ooh. Really long intro.
They got some effects going on right there.
Huh. It does kind of remind me of like a Van Halen 1984 intro.
Their dad produced their first few albums.
Really? Yeah. I saw where he was a producer for like country music and stuff.
Come on.
Kiss.
That is Kiss.
Yeah, that's Kiss. Yep.
Yeah, it totally reminds me of Kiss. I saw them, I think it might have been the Reinventing the Steel tour or whatever.
Hmm.
And I want to say they did a Kiss cover tune, but I can't remember what it was. I know they did a cover tune because they freaking rocked it, dude. They just nailed it, and it was pretty blasted amazing.
I messaged y'all yesterday saying I woke up wishing I could hear them play a bunch of Queen songs.
Oh, yeah.
Because in my head, hearing them reimagine that stuff would have been,
been pretty cool.
They did some really cool Black Sabbath covers.
Yeah.
Caravan was. Yeah, cool. I was about to say. And in fact, whenever you started to talk about Suicide Note, that's one that my head went to, was like Planet Caravan.
Yeah. This is their second album.
See,
a little bit more.
Yeah, it's starting to sound more.
Yeah, it's getting the deeper.
But
it's definitely of its time, though. They were. Yeah. And that vocal.
Wow!
The 1985 I Am the Knot.
Sounds like the old Bullet Boys almost.
Yeah.
That leads to
like Bullet Boys. Bands like that.
Oh yeah.
What was the other one?
Slaughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then 1988 power metal.
Yeah.
And this is right before
Capital One.
No, we're not sponsored by Capital One.
Yeah. There's a free advertising.
I was about to say we bow to nobody for free.
No one pays us for anything.
That's okay though.
Yeah. I mean, they can if they want to.
I mean, yeah.
It progresses. The sound is progressing all along.
Yeah.
That reminds me a lot of, like, post-Ozzy Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Ronnie James Dio, that's what I take out of that, almost.
That first song on the very first album, the title track was Ride My Rocket. Or the first track on it.
Good Lord.
And then they met Phil, for good or bad or worse. But I know there's bad blood.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't own any of those albums if it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If Steven would have brought that to me back in the day, I would have listened to it. Yeah, I would have been I'm just not sure, man. Yeah. I'm turning more towards Metallica and stuff like that at that point in time. Because I guess it's about probably around 88, 89 is whenever we started making the shift over to more angry music. Because it's starting to get closer into the teen years and stuff like that.
Man, you know? Had to rebel.
Yeah.
And that's when Nirvana.
Yeah.
Alice in Chains.
Yeah. All that.
Oh yeah.
God, Alice in Chains.
That was always one of my favorite
ones. I never got to see Alice in Chains.
That's amazing.
That's the one that I kicked myself for not ever getting a chance to see, man.
It's real. You know somebody's good when, I'm a big Ozzy fan, right? I don't know how many times I've gone to see him, but when my fondest memory of going to see the Ozzy concert was getting to see Alice in Chains.
Heck yeah, right. Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Let's play something. Since we did the first couple of albums, let's do Cowboys from Hell, just to show the progression just a little bit more, because plus I kind of want to hear a little bit of it.
Yeah,
why not?
No,
Here we go. Yeah, and this opening few, you know,
yeah,
30 seconds.
If you owned the other albums before this one, you'd be like, what the heck is this?
Oh, they put the wrong CD in it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
This should totally be our intro song for this podcast. Since they're from Texas, and it is the Cowboys from Hell.
Wow.
I think so.
I think so. I mean, it is hot as hell outside right now.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny, man. Like, I keep saying, to me, that would be like, the Dallas Cowboys were smart. That is what they would use at the beginning of the football game at the kickoff. Just to have the loop of that guitar, that
wugga. Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, instead of like, God blessed Rolling Stones or something like that with the Start It Up or Welcome to the Jungle. Don't get me wrong. Like, I love myself some Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
But that's not getting me pumped up.
That's not getting me pumped up the way Cowboys from Hell does.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need that in your locker room.
You see us coming and we all together run for cover. We're taking over this town. Hear the cow reach for your guns and you better listen well, my friends. You see,
it's every time.
Down below, aimed at you with the Cowboys from Hell. Yeah.
Cemetery Gates.
Oh, dude, that's such a great tune.
Play on repeat.
Yeah.
Me out with
the sleep.
There's a lot of good songs
dude, and that's one like member of Pantera that like gets overlooked a lot, because like whenever you think of Pantera, the first person you usually think of is Dime. Yeah. Like, you go straight to Dime.
Yeah.
And then
it's either Phil or Vinny after
and
that.
And then you think usually like Vinny.
Yeah.
But that's a great lead in right there. Nobody ever thinks of Rex.
Nobody ever thinks of Rex.
Rex is a pretty amazing bass player, man.
Yeah.
I mean, for him to keep up with Dime like what he did, like, that's pretty impressive, dude.
I couldn't imagine.
Yeah. They got, like, just the whole band themselves. I mean, like, they were pretty much destined whenever you have musicians of that caliber all coming together to form one group.
And they didn't get any airplay.
They didn't
get any radio promotion. They made it. In fact, they wore it as a badge of honor, right? I've listened to some of the live albums and read some interviews, and they're like, oh, radio wants to love us now?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because I want to say they didn't really start getting the airplay until well after Vulgar came out.
Yeah, it was late. I remember hearing Hollow on the radio once, maybe twice.
Yeah.
But that's about it. So
yeah.
And that was, like you said, Vulgar Display of Power.
They just toured, right? Toured and word of mouth.
Mm-hmm. Basically, from what I understand. Yeah. I mean, but yeah, I remember. Yeah, I think this is like the second song you played for me after you played Mouth of the War.
Yeah,
the one that always comes to mind on this album is Walk.
Oh, yeah.
And, Walk on Home, I never really got into Walk
really
that much. I guess because it was the one that everybody knew.
Yeah.
I was always, Mouth for War was always my favorite one, just because it reaches out and grabs you by the, you know what's the, basically the intro of the song to the end.
Yeah.
And I always liked that one the most.
Letting Walk is one of those that, like, it's like, well, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Walk. It's one of those that if you know how to play guitar, there's about three songs that you are destined to learn at one point in time. One of them is Deep Purple,
Smoke on the Water.
Smoke on the Water.
Yep.
The second one would be Walk, because it's like the two basic songs that you will learn to play on guitar if you're interested in like metal and stuff like that, or rock and roll whatsoever, just because like it's destined to happen. They're pretty, I will say, simple sells, man.
Simple sells.
You don't have to have, you don't have to have, like, you know, I play with musicians, they're like, well, let's try to do a different, instead of going like a 4-4, let's do a 3, you know, let's do a 3-4 or a 3-7 or 7-4, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, dude, just keep it simple. Keep it simple. Like, you don't need to go, you don't need, like, complex time signatures in this song. Plus, it's bad. Whatever, you can start working with a producer, they're going to be like, no, we're going to set one time signature, and that's what we're going to do. You can go halftime, or you can go back up to it, but we're not going to do all these different time fluctuations throughout a song.
Yeah.
You know? It's just too... It's not good.
No, it's, like, you don't get in a rhythm to it listening to it.
Yeah.
You want something... Well, I always want something that I can get into the rhythm to it.
Yeah.
You tap your feet along, bounce your head along.
We'll see.
When you start doing that offbeat, off-time stuff, you're like, oh, wait. Screw that. I'm changing the channel.
So, I always liked tunes that kind of felt like they had a bounce to it.
Yeah.
Just like a hop. Like you can catch yourself sitting there just like hopping along with the music or whatever, you know.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Oh, man.
I was looking at my playlist on my artists on my iTunes music that I was playing my songs on from that, and right, it's Pantera and PM Dawn. Right side by side. Yeah, I'm not eclectic at all.
No.
Not at all.
PM Dawn is the one that when I want to just feel good and happy, throw that on, and then if you're having a bad day or just want to get some angst out, you throw on the Pantera.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Keeps you grounded, man. Keeps you grounded. Yeah. And then kind of going along with it, since Slayer played their last show in Dallas this last week.
I was going to whip them out and play them on the microphone here in a few minutes.
Yeah. Oh. You know.
It's one of my favorite bands, man.
Yeah. The first time
I heard. Last show.
It's actually sad to see. I say it's sad. It's not sad. To me, it's sad to look at them now. And it's like, damn, I'm getting old because these guys are starting to look old.
Oh, yeah. Too. Tom Araya. Looks like Araya. Freaking grandpa,
he
man.
He looks like a grandpa.
And yeah.
Then he gets up there and starts singing. He's like, blood die. Right. And you're like, what
such
the heck?
That's such not my a grandpa. Funny thing watching. I saw him. I think I brought this up a few weeks ago with Dave. It's like, he sings, I punch you right in the face or something. Like, or stab you in the throat. And he's got this big grin on his face. Yep. And he's so happy.
Oh, yeah. I saw him on Jimmy Fallon, man.
That's played, what I
yeah,
saw.
They, yeah, oh, they yeah. played Rain and Blood.
Painted Blood.
Oh, yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
Rain and Blood was an awesome freaking song, man.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. I'll find it here.
Oh. Which one you got? That sounds like it's
that's the
Seasons
one.
In Abyss. No, that's the... I thought
Steven,
it was a live album.
It's Raining Blood.
Yeah, well,
it's...
Steven bringing this home. This album, and I'm like...
Yeah.
We used to try to play this song. What is this? We used to try to play it. We could get through the first 2 or 3 minutes of it. Then when it just got crazy, we're like, all right, I'm done. I can't keep up with that. Man, you got some good songs on here, dude.
Yeah. Get the head sway.
Yeah.
Good God. The speed.
Listen to our podcast. Listen to music with us.
Sync to his thing over there.
Yeah, I'll see if I can do that. How do you do that?
Might have to hit a button on the Wonder Boom there to...
That's where we'd always stop at. I don't know about them, but I couldn't keep up to it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be called Incognito, would it?
No. That's Incognito is Nick.
Oh.
Nick is the roommate.
On Nick.
This maybe had to be one of those dead spots we edited out.
Yeah, I ain't worried about it.
Wonder Boom, connect.
Yeah.
Sweet, now you're connected.
Cool. All right, here. This is one of my songs. I actually let the kids listen to it because I had to introduce them to good music instead of the crap they listen to nowadays.
Oh, my God.
And, see if I can find it here.
When they're talking to me about music, I just get kind of disappointed with them. I'm like, what are you talking about, man?
Dude, this one here just is a great after-work song. Just get in your truck while you're driving your 40-minute drive home. Just let everything come out with the music. This is off the Diabolus and Musica album from 1998. The intro of it's amazing. I always love the intro. It takes him forever to start singing, but...
Yeah, that's just that groove.
Yep. It's one of those songs, like David said earlier, you can't really bounce to this part here, but you can just... You can... It's simple, and to me, I just get into it. I'm just like... And also, if you're going to go fight somebody, it's probably a good song to put in then, too. I wouldn't know, but I mean...
Gotta love the China hit just in.
Oh, yeah, dude. I forget the drummer's name, but that's all he ever does is hit that ride or that China.
Dave Lombardo.
Dave Lombardo. That's right.
They have... Seems like they kind of go back and forth. They have, like, Dave Lombardo and Paul Bastoff.
Yeah. Oh, this song's going to get good now. It's going to slow down. I'm going to have a peaceful drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're sorely mistaken. Yeah. Now, I can just picture Grandpa standing up on the stage playing this with his white hair and white beard and... Anyway,
yeah,
that's Bitter Peace.
We see.
That's just.
Do you have any more albums on there besides
that? Oh, yeah. Okay. Slayer. Yes, I got lots of Slayer.
It's my turn to play.
Decadent Aggression's up here.
Yeah.
I don't have all of them I have on there. I had to get my songs down to fit on the memory I had on my phone. So.
I totally got you.
I had to pick my favorites.
Oh, you're not hooked up to my Wi-Fi, are you? Never mind, then.
Nah, you're good. Go ahead and...
Nah, it's all good.
I have unlimited data, so do what you gotta do.
Yeah. I was just looking here. Still one of my favorites right here. It's from the...
Oh, Dead Skin Mask.
And this song, like... It's, I don't know, like... Let me see it. There we go. It's just the volume on that a little bit.
Seasons in the Abyss album.
Yeah, but like...
Wait for you to come.
I don't know if you guys ever
heard... Isn't this the song that was written about Jeffrey Dahmer?
No, Ed Gein.
Ed Gein.
Oh,
okay.
God.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Dahmer was the song 213, because that was his apartment number. So.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. All his songs are like that, right?
Their songs are all pretty... Makes you think.
Speaking of Ed Gein, because my wife and I are great parents, and we're trying to share things that, you know, those maybe not the best movies in the world, but the movies that, you know, this is a movie that I watched when I was young, and it's like, this is something you have to be familiar with to get me or know what we're talking about when we say things.
Yep.
Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah.
We watched that the other night with our daughter, oldest daughter, and because she's old enough. It's got some, I just forgot how horrific some of the, just mostly all the horrific parts are just the photos they showed.
Yeah.
And that guy was based on the Ed Gein.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. Was she a great big fat lady?
Roomy.
Sure, you're about to show 14.
Yeah. Give me back my dog.
Now, this is really hard to sit in front of the microphone with this song playing and not, like, at least act like I'm singing.
Simple smiles, elude psychotic eyes. Lose all mind control, rational decline.
It's one of those songs. It's just, it's not hard. It's just rhythm, man.
And like I said, like as I said earlier, I like the songs. It feels like it's got, like, a bounce to it.
Yeah.
And you hear this song, and it's just like, you can feel the bounce to it.
You can see right now, just envision the crowd in front of the stage. Yeah. Everybody just...
Oh, dude, a Slayer concert is something to behold.
I bet.
I swear to God, I saw arms and legs flying through there.
Oh, God.
Remember they had at the Bomb Factory? Like, that's a leg.
Oh, no.
It was brutal. And it was raining that night, too. It was pouring rain.
I remember the...
Remember there was, like, that much water on the floor of the whole Bomb Factory we saw, man. God. It was weird, dude.
Dude, I remember the... we were standing in line to get in. And the line had wrapped around the side of the Bomb Factory, and we were right there next to the tour buses. And so we're like, oh, cool, that's Slayer's tour bus. Well, as we start getting closer and getting closer, the line's slowly moving. People are getting irate. There's a dude standing there in line, and he's got his big 40 of Old English, and there's a brand new Beamer still paper dealer tags
paper
on
tagged,
it,
yeah.
Parked right there next to the sidewalk on the street or whatever, and the dude just takes this Old English bottle and just bam, right through the back windshield, dude.
Oh, dang.
Right through the back windshield of it. And I was just like, sucks to be that dude. I wouldn't have parked right there.
That's when the young guys from Sanger, Texas, or small town Texas, realized we ain't Kansas no more,
no,
Toto.
No. I was like, this is going to be a different experience. But I was like, yeah, this is going to be cool. Yeah.
Was it just packed?
This is my favorite one. Oh, dude, it was sold out.
Yeah, and the lineup that night was Slayer was the headliner.
Yep.
And then Biohazard was the main support. Yeah. And then Machine Head was like the opener.
Yeah.
And it was like, dude, yeah.
This song's supposed to be about Mengele.
Yeah.
Angel of Death.
Yeah, the Angel of Death. Yeah. That used to give Jason Summers chills to hear that dude scream like that when he played that song. Let's see. What was another good one here, Dave? Oh, here you go.
That's a great intro on this one.
This is basically the playlist that we used to jam to all the time.
Yeah. I was going to say Chemical Warfare. Not Chemical Warfare, but Mandatory Suicide. This, I always enjoyed playing this one.
Yeah, see, everybody in podcast land learns where our demented senses of the way we think come from, because we were warped as young adults by the music we listened to.
Pretty much.
Well, see, and like, that's like kind of how I started playing bass, because like back in the day, like, it's like me, Steven, and Jason would go over to Jason's house and jam. And, you know, we would go over there and we'd jam Slayer tunes, basically. We would play Mandatory Suicide, we'd play Seasons in the Abyss, we'd play Alice in Chains, Man in the Box. What's another Alice in Chains song?
We knew Angry Chair.
I can't think of the name of the tune.
What the Hell Have I?
Yeah, well, we played What the Hell Have I. Do you have the Alice in Chains album on there? The first one.
Second favorite band of all time?
Yeah.
Actually, I got a lot of Alice in Chains. Okay. Alice in Chains, our Music Bank number one. Let me see here. Hold on.
Well, I just was looking for the name of it.
Oh, okay. That's going to play it for you.
No, that's the wrong album.
No, that's the music box. That's everything.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just looking for the first album.
I don't have the album. I had to save space. Yeah. So I just put the music box on there, which has all the songs.
Okay, I got you.
It's easier that way.
Sea of Sorrow. I remember that one. Crap. I can't remember the name of it. Okay, never mind. I was trying to think. It's driving me up the wall. I can't think of the blast name of that stupid song. Brother, dude, I always love that tune, Brother.
Yeah, that's a great song. That's off the Sap album.
Is it Jar of Flies that it was on?
Brother was off Sap.
Was that on Sap also? Because I thought it was unreleased before.
No, it was on Sap.
Okay.
Sap was the first, not necessarily acoustic album, but you know what I mean? Little
facelift
EP.
Yeah, on Facelift.
Dirt.
Yeah, Facelift. Do you have the playlist over there? I don't have my phone on me or I would search it. Yeah.
It's got, not that one, Die Young.
Track listing, We Die Young, Man in the Box, Sea of Sorrow, Freak, I Can't Remember, Love,
Bleed the
Hate,
Freak.
Love.
Yeah, Bleed the Freak. Though? Yeah.
This one?
Yeah.
It ain't like that.
Okay. It ain't. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's got that bounce to it, that's just, there's parts in songs that are just fun to play. That's the part in a song that's just fun to play. It's like, you can really get into it. It's simple. You can be like, it's good times, man. All right, so.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. We went way back there.
Way back.
Yeah, as
I'm
in
traveling.
As
back
in 2BT fashion, we got kind of sidetracked and went to Alice in Chains and mainly
Slayer.
Yeah. Well, I know, like,
all
Slayer...
It was, all kind of led to the same thing, though.
Yeah, Slayer was intentional, though, because I wanted to keep it to, like, Slayer to play in their last show in Dallas this week.
Yeah, yeah.
And Pantera with Vinnie Paul dying.
Well, that's all the music... I mean, all those bands, all these albums
were
out at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, same time period. Well, that's what I don't understand. That's what I tell my kids is, you guys missed out. In my opinion, they did. I kind of feel sorry for them because they missed out on the music of the 90s. Because, I mean, think about everything that we had that came out in the 90s. I mean, you had Soundgarden, you had Nirvana, you had Alice in Chains, you had Slayer, you had Pantera. And I could, the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
I can't name anybody that's put an album out that I had to go to the store and buy. I remember selling Plasma so I could go buy albums.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were coming out so fast, you couldn't get allowance quick enough to go buy a CD or get paid quick enough.
Yeah.
Because there was something releasing, it seemed like, every week. And now it's like, I'm going to date myself and probably piss a lot of people off, but nobody makes good music anymore. Well, I'm not going to say nobody.
They do.
It's just fewer further between than it used to be.
It's just not mainstream is what it is.
It's just...
And the problem is with the mainstream is that it's just so manufactured.
Right.
That they get the one band that sounds that they're like, oh, well, this is a good sound, so we'll just like mass produce this. Now we'll find three other bands that have the same sound and just kind of go
you
over
gotta it. You got to go. And then they find like, well, oh, we like this singer, but this guitar player. Oh, well, we're going to get that drummer and this bass player. And we're going to put you together. We're going to make you the band.
Well, see,
they don't even know each other, so how can they play off each other if they don't know each other?
They've been doing that for years, though. They started doing that like back in the 50s and 60s.
You got to go look for... There's great musicians out there still. Young people still playing good music. You just don't... You're not going to get to hear them unless you start looking.
Yeah.
You got to dig for it, like on the internet. That's one of the things that the internet's so cool. A lot of the bands that I found that I... Back in the, like... 2000s, early 2000s, because everybody had those music blogs where they just put MP3s up
there. Oh, yeah.
Post Napster. And, you know, I know a lot of people say, well, that's bad for the band. You're stealing from... I mean, you know how much money I've spent on bands I just found because I got to listen to one or two free MP3 songs?
And then you go buy their album.
And I go see them in a concert, and lots of bands are like that. Mm-hmm. Another thing you're talking about, that's also a huge cultural... shift in the 90s because watching Silence of the Lambs, I'm like, oh my god,
yeah,
it came out in 1991.
Yep. Oh wow,
it seemed, having not watched it for a while, check it out. Yep. It's like, oh, this is what it felt like when I was a kid watching a movie from the 60s or 50s.
Yeah,
right.
I can't identify with this stuff. I don't understand how are they functioning without. Literally, we go back to the whole thing about cell phones. No cell phones in that movie.
Oh, God, yeah.
The fax machine.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There was a fax machine, and it dropped the phone onto it, and it's this big, giant, crazy-looking box. And I'm like, how did... It's just bizarre.
Oh, yeah.
The amount of change, and that's right when all this was happening.
This is all starting.
Yeah.
But yeah,
we've come a long way, baby.
Oh, God, yeah. Way. Yeah. Yeah. That's, but anyway, that's what I tell my kids. I kind of feel sorry for you, because... To me, we had it good when it came to stuff like movies, Silence of the Lambs, to music, Pantera, Top Gun.
Yeah.
I just saw they're redoing Top Gun. It's going to be Top Gun 2.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know if we'll ever get it as good as I loved the first one.
Well, it just makes me wonder what jets are going to use for it. Like, is this going to be like an F-18 or they're going to use like F-35
this time around?
Yeah, or F-22 maybe or something.
But anyway, it's just like I tell them, I feel sorry for you because everything's so connected now, I guess. There's no like hearing the song on the radio for the first time going, that's cool. And then not be able to get on your phone and just play it over and over and over until you get tired. You actually have to sit and listen to the radio till you catch it again.
Yeah. Do you remember hearing, like, you'd hear a song and you didn't know what it was? And, yeah, you had to literally have the radio on, try to figure out
what
is this. And then going, like, I remember hearing at the end of Lethal Weapon, there's a cover version of Bob Dylan's song, Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
I want to hear this again. And I was going around digging through going down to Hastings and digging through the records and tapes and stuff. Couldn't find it. I didn't know. I didn't have any easy access to information.
Yeah.
And no one I knew that song.
Yeah.
you know.
Guns N' Roses did a great cover of that tune,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I actually got, I was thinking of that. I got that on my phone, too, is the Guns N' Roses knocking on Evan's door.
And at the end of the Big Lebowski, there's a Townes Van Zandt song, Dead Flowers, which is a cover of Rolling Stones.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I remember hearing that song. I'm like, oh, my God, this is great. What is this? And
yeah.
Finding, that's really kind of how I got, when I started getting into, like, Townes Van Zandt. And I go through the rabbit hole. I fall in, and I go deep. And I'm like, now I have to have every single thing this guy's ever done, and I have to go find all the bootleg concerts. Yep.
Yeah.
That's the way I am with Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
That was always the band, for some reason. Them or Slayer, I always wanted every live album they ever put out, every bootleg copy I could get my hands on, the box set. I had to own all the other albums as well.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I loved Jerry Cantrell, the guitar player.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I loved his style.
Well, not only that, like the local music scene in like the 90s was whenever it really took off around like the mid 90s and stuff like that. And like, I don't know if you guys ever went to it, but there was that big record store in Dallas that I know you would remember the jingle as soon as I say the name. Bill's Records.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Bill's. 8118 Spring Valley. And in fact, like,
I never got the Bills. I never went.
I went to Bill's, and the way I remembered on how to get the Bills was I was singing the blasted tune like over and over and over in my head. Like, okay, I need to go to 8118 Spring Valley, you know, and it's like, you know, That's how I found it. And it's like, you know, that's before the time of GPS and all like this crap.
Yeah.
And so it's like, just drive down Spring Valley Road until you find
See Bills.
Yeah. Well, you're like, okay, well, I'm at 83, so I need to go back to, you know, that way. But yeah, man, going to Bills, and that was Bills was great for bootlegs and like hard to find albums and things like that or whatever, you know. Like, I had this really awesome it was a Nirvana red vinyl record that was a bootleg, like, in concert recording. Like, I think it was actually done at Trees whenever the bouncer knocked out Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, things like that, man. Just awesome, awesome recordings. And, like, you know, people can still do that. What it is like, people just go in and, you know, ask the sound engineer, like, hey, do you have a line out? And they'll plug into the line out. And,
yeah.
And a lot of bands allow it. It's supposed to release it.
Cool, but that, yeah. I was very fortunate that time that I went to Austin to see Drive-By Truckers.
Yeah.
Our cousin Dan. And I got lucky, and somebody had got permission to do that. I've got a recording of the show I was at. It's almost like,
oh, that's cool.
It's almost like if a band would just, because they have the technology, they could do this now.
Oh, yeah.
If you wanted to, okay, you buy your ticket, and you watch the show, and on the way out, hey, here's an extra $10, you can get a recording of the show you're at.
Well, yeah. I know Metallica did that at one point in time, where you went to the show, and then you had a little order form, and you could fill out the order form or go online and order a copy of the show that you were at.
Yeah.
And where they were recording every show or whatever, and it was like, which it's not still, like, it's hard.
I think they still do it, because I do know that one of their things now is they don't play the same set list twice.
Oh, yeah.
It changes every show. That's why they do different covers, move songs around, stuff like that.
Okay.
So, I mean, they'll play some songs twice, like they're, for lack of a better term, hits.
Yeah.
They'll insert other ones. Like, one night they'll play Sanitarium, one night they'll play Fade to Black or something, you know.
Yeah. Dude, I would be upset if I went and saw Metallica and they didn't play either one of those. Yeah, I would be like, what are you guys doing?
I just entered two songs, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I got one on my phone that they play Of Wolf and Man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't hear that now. And then another one's
And Man.
I can't remember the other song it was. King Nothing.
Yeah.
One night,
yeah.
You know? But the one song I went, the time I went to see them last, they played Bread Fan.
And
that is my favorite Metallica cover. Hell, even my favorite Metallica song, even though it's a cover song for the Budgie. But, they played it that night we went. And I was like,
Brad Fan, Am I Evil?
Yeah.
Those are both covers.
Oh.
Yep.
And
Whiskey in a Jar,
yeah.
And that's actually like an old Irish tune. So even whenever Thin Lizzy did it, it was still just like a, you know, like a
folk song.
Yeah, kind of ancient. Thing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I won't say ancient, but, you know, it's an old Irish folk tune. Yeah.
It was an older song. Literally an older song.
Yeah. Shering ama do lama na. Wax for my daddy,
yeah.
Just whiskey and jarro. Yeah, man. you know, okay, so have you started that new Dresden book yet?
Not yet. No, not I'm yet? Still going through my Abaddon's Gate.
Okay.
I was listening to it, and it just got weird.
Oh, really?
It's been weird.
Yeah.
I can't talk about it because it's all spoilers for
anybody. Yeah, don't, because I'm gonna start that series soon. So.
Very good.
Yeah.
I need to get into that one. I'm nearly done with the Dresden series.
Yeah.
I'm in Ghost Stories. I think that's the one after Changes.
That's after Changes. So. I can't think of the name of the one that I'm on right now, but it's dealing with the Denarians again. Yeah. Yeah. But you're about to meet the Denarians in this book. And
the next one, Death Masks.
I will just give you the name of the big bad guy. His name is Nicodemus. And whenever I read that book, I always picture Nicodemus as Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, and so like
I could see him as Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins around the age of Silence of the Lambs and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And you'll see why.
Death Masks. That sounds like a Slayer song.
Right? Yeah, it does. It's very close to a Slayer song. Slayer had Dead Skin Mask, which I played earlier.
Yeah. Speaking of Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, no. Yeah, okay.
So we watched Silence of the Lambs.
Uh-huh.
That was a 91 movie.
Yeah.
I think the only horror movie, considered horror, it's more suspense thriller to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To ever be nominated and win.
Oh, they can't.
It won Best Picture. It won Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Adapted Screenplay, and something else.
Yeah.
Next year, Dracula came out.
Oh,
Anthony Hopkins.
I didn't realize. Oh, that's Bram right. He is in that. Yeah.
Bram Stoker's Dracula by Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah. That's
and we watched it yesterday.
Oh, real
quick. Silence of the Lambs, we watched Friday night.
Yeah.
We watched I forgot how long.
So you're just trying to screw your kid up then, huh?
And weird. There's so much weird stuff going on in that movie that I'd forgotten about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know Gary Oldman playing.
Gary Oldman is awesome
playing Dracula.
Yeah,
and like, dude, he has the best line of any Dracula movie ever, and that's whenever he sees her cross and he tells her, "Do not put your faith in such trinkets of deceit." Yeah. And I was like, "Oh, dude, you're creepy, man."
Yeah. He's very creepy.
Ever see the latest Dracula movie? It's a couple years ago. Was it Dracula Untold? Or
yeah,
I haven't seen that one.
What'd you think of that one?
If it's the one I'm thinking of, it's tried to make it more like an actual historical where he goes up on the mountain.
Yeah, where he first becomes Dracula, makes a deal with the devil or whatever that was, some demon or something like that.
I think it was a pretty decent movie.
I liked it quite a bit, actually. Jesse and I actually went and saw it in the movie.
Let me look up the name.
I actually own it on Blu-ray at the house. I liked it so much and still watch it once or twice a year.
Yeah, Dracula Untold.
That's one. Okay, the two things I would love to see Hollywood do is one, actually make like a really good World War One movie, and number two is have a Vlad Tepes movie.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like a historical.
Like a historical thing. Yeah, to show just how twisted and tormented and demented that dude was, man. Good Lord.
This doesn't get into the
impaling.
Demented part of it, the impaling. They mentioned the impaling in this movie.
Oh, okay.
This is supposed to pick up right after he was supposedly is it called a serf or whatever it is, where his kingdom's basically owned by the Persians?
The Ottomans.
Okay. And he worked for them and thought he had his freedom, and they keep reminding him about his impaling. And
why
they call him the impaler and stuff. But anyway, it picks up right there, and it's basically the origins of Count Dracula.
Yeah.
The vampire, not Vlad the Impaler.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah.
It's actually good. If I remember next time you're over.
Wasn't it Vlad that, like, he, like, invited, like, all his, like, basically, like, all his enemies and stuff like that to, like, a peace gathering or whatever, and then locked them in and set them all on fire or whatever? Or something like that. I think that was him. I don't know if he set him on fire, but I think it was. I think he like invited him to like this peace gathering, took off, locked him in, and then set the building on fire. And anybody that got out, they just like, bleh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bleh. That's the official term for bleh. But I don't know, man. I think that's going to do it for us this week. We're running over now, so.
It's okay.
Nah, it's all right. I say don't edit anything out because the pauses and stuff like that.
Keep it.
Just keep it raw. Keep it raw. Like Pantera. Like
Pantera. Yeah. And Slayer.
Yes.
This is in your face.
Like Dom and Vinny and Rex.
Yeah.
And Phil.
If you guys want to get a hold of us during the middle of the week or whatever, if you guys want to cuss us out or if you want to tell us how awesome it is or whatever, you can email us at the2btshow@gmail.com. That's the2btshow@gmail.com. If you want to get us at Twitter, follow us on Twitter, talk to us on Twitter, tell us how bad we suck, tell us how awesome we are. Same thing. This at 2btshow. At the2btshow. Check out Retro Reprise and stuff that Adam's doing. Adam's doing all sorts of cool stuff. He picked up River Raid the other day. So I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I remember
that. River Raid for that. Atari.
Yep.
He made me really hungry for barbecue listening to him.
I'm talking about Franklin's barbecue now. I'm not going to go wait in line unless it's, like I said, unless it's like 75 degrees outside.
4 hours.
Yeah.
You go full because by the time you eat, you're going to be hungry.
If you go, like I said, if it's like 75 degrees outside, maybe low 60s somewhere in there to where it's nice and cool outside,
yeah.
Go early in the morning, take your cooler of beer and water and stuff like that, sit in some lawn chairs, hanging out, listening to some music, talking to people and stuff like that while you're waiting. It would be pretty fun, but I'd be damned if I'm going to go set. Like I said, if it's a month that starts with J, A, or S, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. January?
January would be fine. But I was thinking June, July, and August and September. Yeah.
I know what you meant.
Yeah. But check out Nerdy Legion. Nerdylegion.com/audible. Go by and get your free book. You can listen to the Dresden Files if you want to, or Red Rising, or The Expanse, or
Forgotten Realms.
Yeah.
It's hundreds of thousands of books.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's one.
There's
those...
something for you there.
There is.
Game of Thrones.
Yep. Game of Thrones. Not to mention a bunch of free stuff that they give out, like speeches and like famous speeches.
There are really cool courses you can listen to also. They're called the Great Courses, and there's like...
Yeah.
For like the really long ones, you have to pay.
Yeah, I was going to say those little, are pretty
like
expensive.
Single lectures. Like I listened to a really, really cool one about... history of Aztec food and its influence on Mexican cooking and our cooking, you know, and the guy was a really good speaker, so he made it really interesting.
Yeah. Make you hungry the entire time?
Yeah. I need some corn tortillas.
Oh, yeah. But I think that's going to do it for us. I'm David.
I'm Michael.
Steven.
2BT. Signing out.
Adios.
Vaya con Dios.
Bye. I got to have something.
I don't say goodbye. I say may the force be with you.
Awesome. Later, guys.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, heck yeah.
I'll just rub it all over my lips.
Use your mind. You don't use your body. Where do we go with this?
I don't know. But... Exactly. that's 2BT style as we go off the rails all the blasting time.
I don't know if I should say that.
Nope. Online. No. Yeah, you know.
It's going to get me in trouble.
Yeah, right. These views are not shared by 2BT.
What makes me this way?
It is hot.
It is hot.
So hot.
Kind of like me. It is hot.
Yeah, I like fish sticks. I like putting fish sticks in my mouth.
What?
Fish sticks.
Good God.
Oh. Something went wrong somewhere or something went right somewhere.
Right.
There's a naked chicken there.
Oh, yeah.
I used to love her, but I had to kill her. I used to love her, but I had to kill her.
Hey, I mean, well, I love you in all sense of the word, all of y'all, but whatever.
I'm the jerk that wrote a million word prequel to the real story.
All right.
Dude, I like...
I don't read too well.
I don't know my words.
I just like looking at the face.
Do you know your words? I don't know mine. You
can get that whole alphabet thing confused. Right.
Oh, just do like I do. Give up. Just give up on everything. I don't care. The environment's dying. I don't care. Just give up.
Oh, my.
This is fun for anybody listening. Oh, my God.
Gotta play to win, man.
I wanna make love to you, woman. I wanna lay you down by the fire. Caress your womanly body. Make it moan and perspire.
I can either A, clinch it, and hope that my body just reabsorbs it. Maybe it'll turn into a burp.
Burp. Burp, burp.
Are you ready for your vasectomy?
Mike, edit this out.
Yeah. I want to be captain of the committee that makes sure you guys don't F this up.
I swear to God, dude, it came out with a vengeance, too. I don't know. Oh, my God. I don't know. Like the...
Yeah, it's glorious. Yeah. Santa Claus is real. Oh, well, look, he's not that bad of a dude.
Straight to the fart noises. There's only one day.
He's a little guy, red hair, that he likes to sing and play his lute.
I don't know, maybe it's my upbringing or something.
I don't know, like, it's just fun. I'm texting. Be like, oh, well, you know, my feats are better than your feats.
And you're an old man and pretty much done.
There you go.
Yeah.
Dude.
Everything's better with reverb.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Giant lump of wet dough. Yeah.
Where are you from? When I was like, Texas.
Oh, whoa. Well, how dare you say that to little Timothy?
Yeah.
This, by the way, spoilers.
Hey. I guess it's the Texas thing.
I love my family.
Excellent.
Oh, you want to be a tough guy? I'll be a tough show what tough is.
Go home.
Go home.
Dude, you mind if I sit over here? And he's like, dude, knock yourself out, man. Well, it must be a Texas thing. Don't do that, by the way.
I'm having a brain freeze. Oh, no. And I'm like,
Ujaba of the heebie-jeebies. Face down in a gutter. Don't want to admit defeat, though.
Well, this is not good.
Like, dude, I love it. I love it all. Whoa, dude. Oh, my God.
Star Wars guys are crazy.
My butt has a cannon.
If you're going to go out, that's the way to do it.
I dig it. It belongs in a museum. Oh, dude, hurry up and get here. Yeah.
Man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed.
The Last Jedi. Run DMC.
Han, Luke, and Leia.
R2 and 3PO.
Rey, Finn.
Yoda, Kenobi.
Ho.
Do or do not, there is no try. Well,
Chewbacca has to die.
The Palpatine. Betray you.
Chewbacca. You know R.A. Salvatore.
This is a good guy, this is a bad guy. This is a good guy, this is a bad guy. Go.
Dang it. Yeah. But, like, crap, I'm just, like, stuttering and rambling there. Beans are a wonderful fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. The more you toot, the better you feel, so eat beans with every meal. I have a belief that if the more you fart, the longer you'll live.
No! You don't stop playing because you get old.
Yeah.
You get old because you stop playing.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Ooh.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com.